Podcastle, episode 600 for November 12th, 2019. Flash Fiction Extravaganza. The Flash Fiction Contest 5 winners. Podcastle. This is Craig Jackson, also known as forum moderator AussieCat. A few months ago, we ran another Flash Fiction contest on our forums, and it was incredibly successful, with over 200 entries in 16 groups, 4 semifinals, and finally, 3 winners. The last two times I ran this contest, I gave every group a different mythological creature as a mascot. This time, every group was overseen by a god or goddess, from Ganesha to Gentle Hestia to Ratatoskr, the squirrel who spreads gossip and trash talk up and down the Norse world tree. And then there's Mithras, warrior god who is worshipped by a secret cult of Roman soldiers in underground caves and basements. Huge feasts were held to celebrate his accomplishments, and especially on his birthday, December 25th. That date sounds familiar. But the subject of feasting brings me to our appetizer course before we get to the contest winners. The Cost of the Revolution in 3 Marvelous Confections, by R.K. Duncan. This story reached the final round of the contest, and while it failed to finish in the top 3, the editors liked it so much, they decided they had to buy it too. R.K. Duncan is an author mostly of fantasy, with a dash of sci-fi and horror thrown in. He writes about fairies and gods and ghosts from a few rooms of his venerable West Philadelphia row home. In the shocking absence of any cats, he lavishes spare attention on his cast-iron cookware and his long-suffering and supportive partner. Before settling on writing, he studied linguistics and philosophy at Haverford College. His occasional musings and links to other work can be found at rkduncan-author.com. It's read to you by Wilson Fowley, who's been reading stories out loud since the age of 4, and credits any talent he has in this area to his parents, who are both excellent at reading aloud. He started narrating stories for more than just his own family in late 2008, when he answered a call for readers on the Podcastle forum. Since then, he has gone on to become Podcastle's most prolific narrator, reading or appearing in over 30 episodes. He's also narrated for many other podcasts, including all of the other Escape Artist casts, Starship Sofa, and the District of Wonder podcast. Beam Me Up, Cast Macabre, Doonstief Audio Fiction Magazine, and the Journey Into podcast. He fits in all his narrating between his day job as a web developer in Vancouver, Canada, acting in local theater productions, and looking for voice acting jobs. And now, sit back and enjoy the appetizer.
The Cost of the Revolution in 3 Marvelous Confections by R.K. Duncan. Narrated by Wilson Fowley.
Do you know what we really lost when Tarvagost's corpse went over the railing and we got the Republic? I managed an invitation to the Spire that last night. I was out on the balcony when it started. You could see the whole city rise, the blue witchfire lights going out where the street lamps toppled, and the orange of the bonfires that replaced them. They hurried us inside before the singing started in the streets and met us with pastries. It was a nest of phyllo, full of hollow nuts, painted like robin's eggs and filled with pepper honey. They burst in my mouth like sweet fire, and the richness of the nut lingered, like the honeyed nuts the gleaners sell now, but 10 times more intense. We all had to smile while Tarvagost watched us from his throne with its halo of gold and silver palm leaves. He had the guild leaders paraded up on a stage to pretend the city still supported him, and they all had to give speeches, and everyone clapped because the whole of his guard was there. They'd given up the streets already. If I'd been in our old room above the printer, I'd probably have gone out to try and steal a second court suit in the confusion. It got so hot with everyone packed into the throne room, clapping, that they sent round iced wine and little tarts full of frozen berries. The cooks did it specially, drying them over a low fire and cooling them slow on a spelled stone so that the ice never burst the fruit. It stayed firm as fresh when it warmed in my mouth, and twice as sweet. It chilled me down enough to shiver, but it tasted of spring, and it made me want to dance, or fight, or something. I haven't seen berries like that in the city since the revolution. I suppose they still pick them, but no one pays for fast horses and cold spells to bring them in before they spoil. I was barely watching when the Knight of Tears stepped out of thin air and put his sword through Tarvagast. They'd just sent out the subtlety. Each of us got a little lemon poppy cake shaped like a bird. They flew on wings of sugar glass, driven by sugar clockwork. It lasted just long enough to drop into our hands when it failed, and when we finished, there was nothing left that we could not savor, just sweetness and light and the joy of how clever it was. I hear one of Tarvagast's chefs still has an eating house in the city. It's good food, but no one has the money for tricks like those birds. That's what we lost. Not honor or majesty or any of the nonsense the legitimists are still preaching. We lost the wealth that paid for things that were perfectly useless and complex and beautiful. That's what we traded for empty jails and everyone having enough.
Welcome back. Wow. While you sit with that for a bit, I'm going to talk about death. Specifically, Auron, the Welsh Lord of Death. Despite what you might expect, he wasn't really a bad guy. He always keeps his word and is mostly concerned with tracking down ghosts who escape from his realm. He can be seen performing this public service in the skies of Wales, riding his horse and accompanied by his pack of white dogs with red ears. Myself, I prefer cats. And also, our next story, by Jingly Bell, by Velvet Mouse, by K.T. Breisky. K.T. Breisky is a Canadian author, podcaster, and playwright. Her short fiction has appeared in Lightspeed, Strange Horizon, and Apex, among others. She's been a Parsec winner, Sunburst finalist, and Stone Coast alum. She's thrilled to make her podcastle debut. K.T. lives in Toronto with her weird cat. Find her at ktbreisky.com or at ktbreisky. It's narrated by none other than Jen Albert, who is an editor, writer, and former entomologist. She works full-time as an editor at ECW Press, an independent publishing house based in Toronto, where she enjoys working on books of all kinds, including speculative fiction, popular science, and LGBTQ fiction and nonfiction. She became co-editor of her favorite fantasy fiction podcast in 2016. She now wonders if she's still allowed to call it her favorite. Along with her co-editors, Jen has been nominated for the World Fantasy Award and the British Fantasy Award for her work on Podcastle. So gather your material components and enjoy the story.
By Jingly Bell, by Velvet Mouse. By K.T. Breisky. Read by Jen Albert. By Jingly Bell, by Velvet Mouse. By Shedding Fur, by Whiskered Purr. By Ticking Clock, by Sweetest Sun. The cat weaves spells to call his human home. Some nights, he's left alone. Upstairs, footsteps fall quiet. Darkness shrouds the apartment. His human does not return. On such nights, the cat readies his magic. He arranges his toys in intricate patterns, yowling incantations over them. All through the night, he works until the rising sun blesses the whole. And then, his human stumbles through the door, bleary-eyed and smelling of another human's bed. Every time he casts his spells, every time she comes back, the magic always works, until it doesn't. For long hours, he crafts his sigils on the floor, adjusting the angle between the chirpy bird and the catnip pillow. With the dawn, he waits. Nothing. Sunlight drifts across the rug. The cat grooms and paces, his litter box full and belly empty. As twilight steals in, he tries again. Again. On the third day, the door opens. He bolts from beneath the bed, but it's only his human's mother, caterwauling and leaking eye water. Strange humans feed him, then stuff him in his carrier. Sharp winter air rakes his fur, void of scent. So sad. So young. The cat crouches low. When they let him out, he'll get the pattern right. A new house. Terrible house. Wrong house. White lilies choke the air. His human's mother feeds him without speaking, her lap cold and hard. The magic has always worked. As the weeks pass, the cat's spells spring wild as twisting vines. New angles, new designs, new charms screamed until his human's mother locks him in the bathroom. Hunched on the tile, he wonders, did he ruin the magic? Unintentionally, catastrophically, misjudge some power and banish his human forever? By scream, by sniff, by rubber band, by foil ball, by squishy fish, by chewy bear. Again, again, again. The cat grows old. Still, he works. With shaking paws, he bats his toys into place. It's harder now. His legs won't jump right. Dulled scents barely stir his whiskers. The old cat aches to sleep, curled on the rug, arthritic bones warming in the sun. But he's not found the proper spell. By falling tooth, by failing sight. Jingly Bell and Velvet Mouse lie side by side. Pink Dawn caresses them both. Something is caught, the old cat thinks. Something has almost worked. He stretches beside his spell. Too tired, too sore. But then, the door opens. The cat's ears prick. His human stumbles in, shining-eyed and smelling of summer skies. She gathers him up, light streaming behind her. The cat twists like he hasn't in years, jamming his head into her cheeks, her neck, her chest. His human kisses his nose. I missed you. With a rumbling purr, he settles in her arms. His human carries him out, into sunlight, into love, into...
There's one thing everyone here in the castle can agree on, it's that we love stories. And in the contest, I gave a nod to several gods of stories. Anansi, Dionysus, Naboo, Kokopelli, and finally, Thoth. But Thoth is not so much a god of storytelling as he is of writing itself. Thoth invented that, in hieroglyphs, of course. And he wrote the Book of the Dead, and records the judgments that determine the fate of all souls. To the worthy, he gives new bodies and prepares them on their journey to paradise. Our next story is A Thousand Points, The Sky, by Michelle Munzler. She's an author of the weird and sometimes a poet with an especial love for flash fiction. At local science fiction and fantasy conventions, she is known as the Cookie Lady, and she writes things both dark and strange to counterbalance the sweetness of her baking. Her short fiction and poetry can be found in numerous magazines, such as Fireside, Daily Science Fiction, and Liminality. For links to more of her work and cookie recipes, check out her website. It's narrated by New Zealand-born fantasy writer and podcaster Philippa Pip Valentine, who is the author of The Books of the Order, The Chronicles of Art, and the Shifted World series. She is also the co-author of the Minister of Peculiar Occurrences series with her husband, T. Morris. Philippa currently resides in Manassas, Virginia, with her husband, daughter, and a furry clowder of cats. Now, for the love of all writing, well, enjoy the story.
A Thousand Points, The Sky, by Michelle Munzler. Fold faster, Auntie says, her arthritic fingers tucking the wings of the paper balloon like she's 20 years younger. I struggle to keep up with her pace, the paper awkward in my shaking hands. Smears of red stain my skirt where I've wiped the paper cuts, best I can. Even so, most of my balloons are dabbed in red amidst the black ink and white paper. It isn't important the balloons be pretty, though. Only legible once unfolded. How much time? I ask, as I stare in dismay at the current book splayed between my legs. Half its spine is a desolate fringe, the other half clinging weakly to what pages remain. At this rate, I'll never finish the book. Auntie glances over her shoulder through the great library's smashed window, down at the ground, two stories below. Enough, child, enough. But even as she says it, I see the wrinkle in her lip and know it's a lie. They've got the wood stack now, don't they? Her fingers pause their folding. Between us, a skeletal pile of desecrated books, knowledge ripped from them page by page. To the side, all the rare tomes still in need of saving. Her mouth tightens, and she nods. As if to taunt us, the first whiff of smoke bleeds through the broken window. Auntie rips a new page free, folds faster. I stare at my latest pile of paper balloons, my lopsided creations waiting on that final breath of life. The book's contents aren't completely folded yet, but time is short, so I gather up what I have. Better half a book than none. At the window, I take each hurriedly folded paper balloon, find the small hole in the bottom, and blow, just like Auntie showed me when we began our task late last night. One by one, the balloons inflate, filled not just with air, but with our need to save them, with our aching wishes that their words live on. With a gentle kiss, I send each out the window, where, against all improbability, they bob skyward, propelled by our want. The horizon is dotted with similar such balloons, 1,000 points of knowledge spreading in every direction. From below the window, a wave of heat sweeps upward, bathing my face. The air fills with the snap and crackle of wood. The library's massive front doors are barred, of course, from the inside. And though there's still a faint chance in this moment of escaping before the fire consumes us both, we know we won't. Not at the cost of the books. Ignoring the flames below, I sit back down, rip a fresh page free. Can you help me with this one? I ask, squinting my eyes tight. It wouldn't do to get the paper wet, after all. It was one of my favourites. I'd hate to see it burn. Of course. Auntie deftly sets her own book aside, and together we fold.
Right in the feels. And our next story isn't going to make things any easier on them. It's set in Japan, though, so I'll take a moment to tell you about the goddess of the sun, Amaterasu. She's the greatest of all the kami, and the ancestor to Japan's line of emperors. When a new emperor is enthroned, as just happened, he receives three gifts passed down from her: a jewel, a mirror, and a magic sword. Our next story is passed down from Nathan Susnick, and is called Tohoku. Nathan is a medical writer and editor who lives near Hanover, Germany. In his free time, he writes fiction. His stories have been published in markets such as Cast of Wonders, Shoreline of Infinity, and Gallery of Curiosities. You can find out more about his stories by visiting his website, nathansusnick.wordpress.com, or following him on Twitter, at Nathan Susnick. Tohoku is read to you by Kai Hudson, who lives in sunny California, where she writes, hikes, and rock climbs with enthusiasm, if not skill. Her work has been published in Clark's World, Interzone, Anathema, Spec from the Margins, and other fine places. Find her at kaihudson.com. I gotta go. I hear the phone ringing. Enjoy our last story for the day.
Tohoku by Nathan Susnick. Narrated by Kai Hudson. For Tata. At 17, Ayumi walks through the rubble of her old neighborhood. The mere ridiculousness of a ship in the middle of the street makes her want to laugh. But when she reaches her old house, she is solemn and says a prayer. Although she has not seen her parents' bodies, she is not in denial. It has been months since the wave. Why, then, has she not yet cried? As she turns to leave, she sees a telephone booth in the middle of the field down the street. It stands alone among the rubble, so she goes to it. In the booth is a phone that's not hooked up, but she picks up the receiver and dials her parents' number. There are voices on the other end. "Mom? Dad?" she says. "I miss you." And for the first time since the wave, Ayumi cries. At university, Ayumi meets a man. He's kind and understanding and tall, but not nearly as handsome as she had dreamed. Still, 3 out of 4 isn't bad, she thinks. This could be it. She asks Kaito if he would like to meet her parents. Together, they travel to her hometown. Many houses have been rebuilt, but the telephone booth still stands in the field. Ayumi picks up the receiver and dials. Her mother laughs and tells her that she would love to meet her boyfriend, but when Kaito takes the receiver, he frowns. There's no one there. They are married under a blue sky, surrounded by waving grass. The celebration is in a tent erected next to the phone booth. When the ceremony starts, Ayumi dials her parents' number and leaves the phone off the hook. When Mei is born, they buy a house in Ayumi's hometown. She takes Mei to the field almost every day. Their giggles fill the telephone booth. When Mei is 14, she refuses to go to the telephone booth. "But how will your grandparents ever get to know you?" says Ayumi. "There's no one there, Mom," says Mei. "Stop being crazy." When Mei is 17 years old, Ayumi sits in the telephone booth, crying. She tells her parents that she is tired of fighting. She hasn't spoken with her daughter in months. She has also taken her mother's advice and seen the doctor about her stomach pain. She's afraid to tell Kaito the test results. Ayumi is in pain. She lies in bed, her body much too weak to get out. She sees Mei and Kaito. They tell her that it's all right. There's nothing to fear. Today, Ayumi is better. Today, she will go for a walk. The grass waves in the field, and the door to the telephone booth stands open. When she gets there, the telephone rings. She has never heard it ring before. It's a pleasing little clingeling. She smiles, picks up the receiver, and the voice on the other side is familiar. "Mom," it says, "I miss you."
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed our collection of stories. Maybe next time, your story will be among them. Contest 6 has already started elsewhere in the Escape Artist universe. If you go to the forums now, you should be able to vote in the last round of Pseudopod's Horror Contest. Escape Pod and Cast of Wonders haven't announced their contest yet, but it's never too soon to start working on your 500-word stories. And in the fullness of time, Podcastle will run another contest too. But for now, that was our show for this week. On behalf of everyone at Podcastle, thanks for letting us share these stories with you. Be sure to share with your friends, hit us up on social media, and if you'd like to show some extra love, head to patreon.com/EAPodcasts for special events, bonus episodes, and Podcastle appearances in the wild. We'll be back next week with another tale. Until then, this is Craig Jackson, reminding you to honor the gods, but that you shouldn't listen to rumors spread by squirrels, not even if they are divine.